series. A little series of something that Jesus said over and over again in the book of Matthew. It's very simple. It's kind of opposite of what Tina said. Tina, when she was giving talking about that, it was in Matthew chapter 8 or 15. Which one was it? 8 or 15? Matthew chapter 8. There's only two times in all the book of Matthew that Jesus says a person of great faith. The first time was what Tina was talking about, the centurion, when he came to get his child healed. And he says, you know what? You don't have to come to my house. It's like Tina read earlier in the service day. You don't have to come to my house. All you have to do, Jesus, is say the word, and my child will be healed. He says, you know what? I've got people under me. I say, go do this. They go do it. They have people under them. They say, go do this. They go do that. He says, all you have to do is say the word, and my child will be healed. And Jesus says, he was astonished. I love it that Jesus was astonished. It shows me that he was really human, because he was astonished that this man had such great faith. He says, in all of Israel, I have not seen anyone with as great a faith as this centurion. So that guy had great faith. The only other time that Jesus said of great faith is of a widow, the persistent widow. You remember that story? She was actually a Samaritan woman. And she came to Jesus, and she was wanting some type of healing for, I can't remember if it was for herself or for one of her children. It was for one of her children. And she was saying, Jesus, will you heal? Will you heal? Will you heal? And he kept putting her off, and the disciples said, would you just tell that woman to get out of here? And finally he says to the woman, he says, you know what? I came to serve Israel. I did not come to serve the dogs. He basically called her a dog. Okay, this is in Matthew chapter, hang on, I got it right here. You want to look at it. Matthew chapter 15. Basically called her a dog, and this woman didn't go, huh, well, you call me a dog, I'm going to walk away from you. I don't believe in you anymore. She fell at his feet, and she says, yes, but even the dogs get to eat the scraps from the master's table. That was her response, the Samaritan woman. And Jesus looked at her and says, you have great faith. What you asked for is done. Those are the two instances where Jesus said, you have great faith. Now, there are several other instances where he said the opposite, where he says, you of little faith. And we're going to take a look at those real quick. The first one is in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is preaching a sermon. He's doing a great job. He always does a great job, but no matter what he does. He's preaching a sermon, and he's coming down to the last parts of it. And he's talking to him, and he says in Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear, is not life more important than food and body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying, and someone needs to hear this today, I know it, maybe it's me, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, he will not much more clothe you. O you of little faith, so do not worry what you shall eat or what you shall drink or what you shall wear. For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom. You hear that? Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. You see, one of the things about this faith walk that we started over here, one of these things about the faith walk is at some point in time in this walk, as you're going down this thing you call life, there's going to be a point in time that God is going to call you to step out in faith with things that you don't have. Step out in faith beyond what your means, what you're able to do. He's going to ask you to step out past what you think is possible for you. And a lot of people get hung up at that point in their life because they look at this and they're looking at the world and they're thinking, oh my goodness, this is impossible. I can't do this. I don't have the means to do this. I don't have the knowledge to do this. I don't have the resources to do this. I don't have whatever it is that you think is going to make it possible for that to get done that he's calling you to. And some people get stuck right there because they never take that step of faith. They never step out and say, oh yeah, well, God really does want me to tithe, or oh yeah, he really wants me to give above, or oh yeah, all these different things. And they stop right there and they stop growing in their faith because that's where they're at. They don't believe. They believe that God is able. They believe that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills, but they don't know that he will actually provide it for them, for what he's calling them. You see, those are steps of faith, and so many people get stuck. It's amazing to me, though, that so many people get stuck in the idea of he won't provide more. Do you realize sometimes God asks us to do with less? Nobody wants to think about that. Everyone wants to think about the problem of here I am right here and he's wanting me to go more and he's going to provide more. So I got to take that step of faith. Have you ever thought about the other direction? I'm right here and God says, you know what? I want you to cut back. Because all this stuff is keeping you from doing what I want you to do. It's not a benefit. It's a distraction. You see, that's a step of faith. It's a step of faith knowing that God is more than able to provide. He's the one who puts the clothes on your back. I might think I earned the money to buy these. I didn't. I might think I bought the house. I didn't. Everything that you have, everything that you are is because of him. He's provided it for you. Well, I've worked hard. Yeah, you've worked hard because God gave you the ability to work hard. He gave you the health to work hard. He's the one that provided the opportunity for you to have the job that you have. He puts you where you're at for a reason. It's because of him. Don't think that he can't take it away in a second. And don't think that he can't abundantly supply, multiply it in that same second. So many times I see churches, I see individuals getting stuck because they're afraid. Look what it says. He says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. If God is calling you, take that step. Let him see how he's going to provide. Let him see how he's going to take care of you in your time of need, even if you give up. Find out what he'll do. You see, I bet you if I wanted to right now, I bet you I could ask. I bet there's probably 200 people here today, maybe. I don't know. I bet there's 100 stories that people are going through in their minds right now. I know Lisa has one. I can see it in her smile. I know every one of you has some smile, some story that you could relate to right now saying, you know what? I remember that time in my life where we had nothing. We were eating ketchup and water and making a tomato soup when I was going to seminary. And, you know, we had absolutely nothing, but we were the happiest, and God was growing us. And you know what? We were taking that step of faith. We didn't know how we were going to pay for our rent. We didn't know how we were going to pay for school. We didn't know how it was going to happen, but we felt we were called to ministry, and so we went, and God did it. It was amazing. I look back on those times, and I think, yeah, man, why can't I just have that faith more? And understand, he will provide. Are you there? Are you there? Do you have faith? Let's look at the next one. Take a look just a couple pages over in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. This is right after the faith of the centurion. Here we just have a guy. Just had a guy who came up and he said, man, there's no one with greater faith than this guy right here. And soon after that, the guys who have been following Jesus and watching all the miracles and seeing all the evidence of the power of God through Jesus, here we've got these guys and they're out on the boat. They're out on the boat in verse 23. They got in the boat and the disciples followed him. They went without warning. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake. So the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up and said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Then he got up and he rebuked the waves and it was completely calm. It says the men were amazed. They were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. You see, there's a fear. There's a fear factor in this walk that we've got, this walk of faith. There's a fear that maybe God can't. Maybe he can't. Maybe he can't do this. Can I tell you something just honestly and flat out? God can. There is nothing in this world that he cannot do. There is no obstacle too big. There is no force too strong. There is nothing in all of nature and all of mankind that can stand up to the power of God. Do you believe that? Okay, if you believe that, and it's true, he can do anything. He can make the sun stand still in the sky for an entire day if he wants to. He can make the fleece wet and the ground dry, or the ground dry and the fleece wet. He can do whatever he wants. The laws of physical nature do not apply to my God. They don't. Everyone wants to think, God has to work within these rules that we've got as mankind and all these theories and all this stuff, the speed of light, and he's got to work within these boundaries. And you know what? No, he doesn't. He created light. He created the speed of light. If he wants to take the speed of light and tone it down, he can make a light ray go a half a mile an hour if he wants to. You're thinking, oh, yeah, he's God. He created it. So if I'm standing here, and I'm looking at the surroundings of all these different things that are going on, thinking, oh, this is just impossible. Who are you believing in? It's not my God. If my God says, step, I need to step. And I don't need to worry about the things that are going on in the world. I don't need to worry about the storms raging. I don't need to worry about what people say or what people think. I need to follow my God. You're thinking, well, but I'm just not sure. Okay, take a step and find out. You see, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see or understand or know. Faith is believing in God and putting that belief into action. Oh, you have little faith. What obstacle looks too big for you? What wave is crashing over that's keeping you from walking from here to here today? And experience the incredible things that God has in store for you. What is it? Is it really that big when you sit down and think about it? See, God wants to increase your faith. He wants you to be able to look back and say, that was nothing. It was just a little storm. Who cares? My God's in control. Take a look with me in Matthew chapter 14. This is nice. It's all going in order, isn't it? I like that. I can actually keep up with myself here. So Matthew chapter 14. Oh, I love the story. I love to tell the story. No, this is a good one. This is a story of Peter. Y'all remember this story. Every preacher in the world preaches this at least twice a year, I think. Because this is the one where Peter walks on water. Y'all know the story. We'll read it real quickly here for you. It says, immediately Jesus made... There's something about boats and Jesus. I don't know. He likes fishermen. But he says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. There's that fear thing again. It says, it's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. Sounds impossible. I know they've tried to explain this away by all these different theories. Well, there was a shelf of rock just a few inches underneath the water that Jesus was walking on. And Peter, when he stepped out of the boat, found that shelf. This is God. If he wants to walk on water, he'll walk on water. If he wants to call you out of the boat, you can walk on water too. Okay? It's not impossible. I've never seen it before. Well, guess what? You may not unless you ever get out of the boat. Amen? It says, but when he saw the wind, he got out of the boat, but when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried out. There's that word again. He was afraid. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And look what he says. You of little faith. You of little faith. Huh. You know, every once in a while, you're going to step out of the boat. I hope. I hope every once in a while you're just going to step out of the boat. You're going to hear the call. You're going to step out. It doesn't make sense. Everything, it seems impossible, but nothing's impossible with God. And you step out of the boat, and you're starting to walk. And I'm going to guarantee you, Satan does not want you to step out of the boat. You hear me? He does not want you to walk by faith and not by sight. He doesn't want you to do that. And Satan is going to put everything in his power to try and distract you and to bring fear into your life. You know what? If he calls you into the second grade classroom here at Breakouts and you get up there and the kids are climbing from the walls as you walk into the room, you are going to be afraid. Okay? And you might want to just close the door and say, I'll go find your teacher for you and go walk away next week. I don't know. But Satan is going to want to do that no matter what God calls you to in this life. I guarantee you there is going to be fear in the midst of the traveling. There's going to be fear in the midst of the journey that you're on. I guarantee it's going to happen. But I want you to know that God is saying don't look at all the fearsome things around you. Don't listen to public opinion polls. Don't listen to the things that the world is trying to say is bad. But just follow God. Stop looking at the waves and focus on Jesus. If Peter would have just looked straight forward at his Lord and Savior, if he would have kept his eyes on Christ and not the opinions of the world, not the ways that were around him, not the circumstances that he found himself in, not his finances, not anything else, just kept his eyes on Jesus saying, I believe you called me to do this. I believe that this is where I'm supposed to go. I believe, and I'm putting it in faith, Jesus, if that's where you're intended to go, we'll bring you home. We'll make it happen. What are you worried about? What's keeping you from taking that next step? Because you know what? From here to wherever he's calling me to is a journey. And it scares me that so many people, so many Christians, you realize this is who he's talking to? He's talking to his disciples, the one that should know him best. That's us. The ones who are in this room, the ones who should know him best. He's talking to us when he's saying you have little faith. The ones that are saying you have great faith, that's the Samaritan. That's the centurion. Those are the people that didn't know about Christ, okay? That's who he said great faith because they were acting in great faith. He's talking to us. He says, what's holding you back? What excuse are you using? Whatever it is, it's not good enough. Right? Oh, take a look with me. Two last ones. That reminds me of yesterday. It was a funny, the most classic line at the wedding last night. It was so funny. I laughed so hard. The best man, I don't know why I'm telling this story now. I have no idea. Because two last ones, I guess. The best man was giving a speech for Chris and for Marie last night. And it was the funniest thing he was talking about. They had this class at 8 a.m., it was an accounting class or something, I can't remember what it was, but he says, yeah, we had this class at 8 a.m., five nights a week. That's what's like, 8 a.m., five nights a week, it's all good. Whew, that must have been one long class. Anyway, 8 a.m., five nights a week. Where was I? Matthew chapter 16. I don't know why that made such an impression on me. I'll remember that forever. Matthew chapter 16. Oh, here we go. This is a little bit different. I struggled with this and trying to figure out what was going on here. It's the demand for a sign. It says, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. And he replied, when evening comes, you say it'll be fair weather for the sky is red. When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather for the sky is red. Red sky at night? Sailor's delight. Wow, impressed. Red skies in the morning? Sailors take warning. All right. Today it'll be stormy for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah, Jesus said, and then left them and went away. So the Pharisees are asking for a sign. They're saying, show us that you're the Son of God. Show us that you're Messiah. And he's like, I'm going to show you a sign. If you want to believe in me, if you want to have faith in me, have faith in me. But then he goes to his disciples very quickly right afterwards. This is when they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. And this is right after they got done feeding the 5,000. I mean, they just got done doing it. All right? You know the story about the feeding of the 5,000. It just got done happening. I mean, Jesus took a few loaves and multiplied to feed 5,000 people. I think it was the 5,000. Yeah, the 4,000, excuse me. What's 1,000 between friends here? Right? Anyway, so he fed the 4,000 with just a little bit of bread. And so they go across the lake, and Jesus says to them, he says, when they crossed the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. And Jesus says, be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they discussed this among themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Oh no, we're going to get hungry. Really? Come on, I'm dumb, but I think I would at least got that one anyway, okay? So he says, they didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, he says, you of little faith. Once again, you of little faith. Now what prompted this? What prompted this, this idea of you of little faith? What's the context going on here? Why is he saying you of little faith? The reason that's going on is because here's what's happening. And we're doing it. I do it. You do it. You're guilty as I am. And we need to stop. We need to stop because we start on this walk and we get to a certain point and it starts to get hard and things are going on. And all of a sudden we say, whew, I think God is calling me to do this, and if he just gives me a sign. I see some smiles. If he just gives me a sign, then I'll know and then I'll take my step. I'll take my next step of faith. I'm right here. But if he gives me the sign, if that person calls, or if you know the sky lights up, or if there's like a plane flies over with a message on it, or whatever the sign that we get in our head that we think we have to have in order to take the next step, he says, then I'll take my step of faith. Well, let's think about this just for a second. If I have to have a sign, and we're doing it, don't think that you're not, and don't think that if I have to have a sign to take that step of faith, am I taking a step of faith?
No!
No! I know Christians, and I know Christians in this room that are still right here because they're waiting for a sign to take the next step of faith. And life is passing them by. Opportunities are going by faster than they can imagine because they're waiting for a sign whether this is right or not. Let me tell you, take a step of faith, and the sign that you're waiting for will be in your rearview mirror encouraging you to take the next step. That's what he's talking about when he says, you have little faith. He says, you know what? Stop waiting for signs and wonders. The greatest sign and wonder that ever happened is that Jesus Christ was buried for 3 days and rose again. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is alive today, that he was dead and buried and alive? If you believe that, that's the only sign that you need, that our God is able. That's it. Stop waiting for the phone call. Stop waiting for the writing in the sky. Stop waiting for whatever you're waiting for and move. Live. Do what he's calling you to do. You'll have all the signs and wonders that you'll ever need because he will affirm it to you as you go on that journey. That's faith. That's belief being put into action. That's faith. Last one. This is the last one. Next chapter, 17. Wow. So much to say, so little time. chapter 17, verse 14. Sorry. It says, when they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt down before him. Lord, have mercy on my son, he said. He has seizures, and he's suffering greatly. He often falls into fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied. How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment on. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked him, why couldn't we drive it out? You got to understand what's happened before this. Because Jesus sent out the disciples. He sent out 72. He gave them the power to do all kinds of amazing things. As a matter of fact, those disciples came back rejoicing and saying, wow, this is awesome. Even the demons run from us. We've got such great power, and this is so cool. And Jesus said very plainly, he says, hey, don't rejoice that the demons are fleeing from you and you're able to cast them out. He says, rejoice that your name is written in the book of Christ, in the book of heaven, in the book of life. He says, don't rebuke about these miracles, or don't rejoice about these miracles. Rejoice that your name is written in the book. But look what he says very quickly, because here they came, they were casting out all these demons, they were feeling all puffed up. Hey man, I got it going on here. Oh, you got a demon, bring it here, we'll cast it out. And I could just see Peter, he said, get out! And the demon, I'm not getting out. He says, hey James, come over here, help me out. And they go, hey, get out! It's like, I'm right here, come on. And so I can imagine all 12 of them, I have one point in time coming, all right, here we go. Like, yeah, whatever. And so the dad brings the boy to Jesus, and Jesus says, get out of here. The demon's gone. The disciples are like, oh, what happened? What happened? And they come up, Jesus says, why couldn't cast that demon out? And he replied, because you have so little faith. If you look in the Gospel of Mark, the same story is there. But Mark records it in a different way. He didn't say, because you have such little faith. He says, sometimes they only come out with prayer. Now, let me just give you a quick warning right here at the very end. We're cruising. We're not afraid. God can provide. Boom, step. We're cruising. I'm not afraid of what the world is doing, all the surroundings. I'm taking my steps of faith. We're cruising. I'm not afraid of all the things that have happened, even though I've taken this step. We're cruising. I'm not afraid of this. I'm not going to, you know, I'm doing all the things I'm supposed to do. I'm cruising. I'm stepping out in faith, and all of a sudden, wham, the roadblock hits. And you all of a sudden think, what am I doing? What happened? There's a warning that each one of us needs to understand. Are you still relying on Christ in your ministry and what he's calling you to do? Or has it become to the point of what you're doing, I'm just doing it. I'm just doing it. I've got this down. Lord, you can stay back there. I'm cruising now. I've got this under. I know how to teach my Sunday school class. I know how to lead cool kids. My junior high youth group is mine. I've got my plan. You know what I'm saying? I'm going in my direction. I've got this covered now. Thank you very much for the encouragement. Thank you for the miracles. Thank you for the signs. We've got this going on. Let me tell you, you ain't got nothing going on. I'm going southern now. I don't know what happened, but you don't. Because everything that you have is still from him. And if you're not relying on him and trusting in him, if you think you've got it going on, you ain't. You need to remember where that power comes from. You need to be connected to it every time. I know the day that Jim walks into my office and I'm sitting back with my arms crossed behind my head and my feet up on my desk and he walks in and says, how's it going? I'm saying, no problem. I got this under control today. That's the day you need to say, you're fired. Get out of here. Seriously. The moment you think you've got it, you are on a real slippery slope. You see, we work, we serve, we do all things by faith and by nothing else. So, where are you at? What you need to do? Because I guarantee you, God does not want you to stay right where you're at right now. I promise you that. As a matter of fact, if I can speak for him just for a second, he's sick and tired of where you've been standing. He's waiting for you to take that next step and trust him by faith. What's he want you to do? What do you need to do today? That's the one question I can't answer for you. That's up to you. We're going to sing a song of decision. And I know I've got one young lady who's ready to take the next step in her faith. I think I have another young lady. Yep, I got two young ladies that are going to take that step. Maybe your Lord is calling you to open the door to your heart today. Maybe you've been stuck in a rut for so long that you don't even recognize it. And he's saying it's time to step up, step out, and move on. Drive out the fear and let him work in your life. Where are you at? What do you need to do? During this song of decision, I'm going to ask that you just allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life, to tune out everything else that's going on around you, all the fears, all the trials of the tribulations, all the sounds, and just let God speak to you right now. And then respond. Whatever it is, respond. You will not regret it. Let's stand as we sing. Not someone else out there that needs to take a step of faith. This is Eliza. This is my niece. I watched her growing up since she was just a little baby girl. And God's calling her to a new step in her life in Christ. And I'm so proud that she's wanting to take that step and that response. And she came up last week and we took her confession of faith. And she's the one that got us started. We got the baptistry ready. And she's going to be baptized in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior this day. And this lady standing next to me is Destiny Fleming, standing right here. And I just have to tell this story. I hope you don't mind. But last week after the sermon, I put out the same call that if anyone had that calling, that come see me this week. And got done with the message, got done with the service, we played the last song, and I was walking over this way. And I don't remember who I was talking about. I think I might have been talking to Randy. Was I talking to Randy? And I just saw the corner of my eye, I saw Destiny coming. And she was a girl on a mission. I mean, you could see it in her eyes. I didn't know what was going on. I had a good idea. I thought, There's something going on in that girl. You can just kind of see. If you don't know this, as I'm looking out, I can see who's struggling with stuff. I don't know all the answers, but I can see what's going on in a lot of faces. You think you're hiding it, but you're not. The Lord knows. And I'm not the Lord, but He puts a spirit in me that I can see what's going on. And I saw Destiny coming over, and I thought, we're going to have a second baptism. She walks up, and she's got a piece of paper in her hand, and she goes, and she kind of hesitated. I don't know if you realize, she came up, and she goes, "I'll make a dessert for Wednesday." And she handed me her phone number, and I thought, wow, I really missed that one, didn't I? I thought, whew, I was way off the base on that. And she handed that to me, and she walked away. And I thought, well, that's cool. She wants to make a dessert for Wednesday for the funeral, though. That's awesome. And about 3 or 4 minutes later, she came walking up, and she goes, "I think I want to be baptized." And to me, it was just, Destiny, I'm going to tell you right now, I will never forget you. Never. Because it was a classic example of God calling someone in their life, and you just don't know what to do. You know you're supposed to do something, but you're not sure what it is. And she took that step as thinking, "I'm going to make a cake." And you took a step, and that was awesome. But in the midst of the step, I know there was something inside you saying, "That's not what I wanted to say, was it?" See? You see, God's big enough to take the step that we take and then bring us to where He really wants us. He's just looking for that open heart. He's just looking for that step for you to take. And He'll say, "You know what? I can work with that." I love that. And I know He's going to continue working in both these young ladies' life in an incredible way. You see, He's just waiting for you to respond. Know that He's right. And His plans for you far exceed anything that you can hope for or imagine. Pray for these two. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, Lord and God, You are an incredible and mighty and awesome God, Lord, and I trust You. I trust You alone, Lord. I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust my thoughts. I don't trust my abilities, but I trust You. And I thank You so much for these two young ladies. I thank You for Eliza and for Destiny. I thank You for the Spirit of God that You have placed within each one of them, Lord, that's calling them to make this decision, Lord. And Lord, I know in my heart of hearts, this is the shortest and smallest faith decision that they're going to make. It's the first step on a journey that You want to take them on. And I pray, Lord, that You allow them to continue to take steps of faith each and every day of their life. Some days they're big steps and some days they're small. But Lord, a journey with You, keeping our eyes focused on You, is always worthwhile. No matter what the outcome, we can trust You. No matter where You take us, we can trust You. You are an awesome God, and I thank You for these two young ladies. And I ask for Your hand of blessing to continue to direct them and guide them on Your path. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'll let you guys go back and get ready. Are we going to sing a song, or what are we doing?
We're going to sing a song.
That's a good idea. I'm glad you thought of it.
Thank you.
Well, you got one ready. Nope, just walk right up there. There you go. Hope I didn't get the water too deep for you. Oh, we're good. This is Eliza Atkinson. You guys could be seated, sorry. Eliza Atkinson, a young lady who has been growing up in the faith and the wonders of the Lord all of her life. And it's amazing how God's timing is absolutely perfect. At just the right moment, he calls. And with just the right heart, we open. And God does amazing things. And he not only opens the door for her, but for other people to recognize they need to make that same decision. And so because of Eliza's example and because of her faith, she stands before you this morning. Eliza, if you'd like to take a seat right here. There you go. Yeah, we're good. Is it warm enough? Too hot? It's all good, right? All right. Eliza, because of the faith that you have shown and the commitment that you've made and the confession that you've given that Jesus Christ is Lord, you're being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being buried and raised anew. Amen. Anything you want to say? I know this is a can of worms I probably don't want to open up, but anything you want to say? You never know what's going to come out of her mouth, believe me. What?
I'm glad.
You're glad. Amen. All right. Thank you. She's a little too much like her uncle. So, Destiny, are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Destiny Fleming. A young lady I am just now starting to get to know, but I can see in her eyes that God has got great plans for her. It's been awesome to get to see her serving here at the church, doing different things, and like I said, Destiny, I will never forget last Sunday to see the look of hope, the look of fear, the look of desire to have Jesus Christ become the Lord of your life, and I want to encourage you to continue stepping out in faith every single day. Never be afraid. Trust him. We'll pull you through. So if you'd have a seat. And I'd like you to do Peter's confession with me. Just repeat after me. I believe that Jesus is a Christ.
That Jesus is the Christ.
The Son of the Living God.
The Son of the Living God.
And I accept him.
And I accept him
as my personal Lord and Savior.
As my personal Lord and Savior.
Jesus tells us if we confess his name before others, he will confess our name before our Father in heaven. So Destiny, upon your confession of faith, you too are being baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, being buried and raised anew. Amen. Oh, you all were robbed of that smile that I got to see. That was, whew. That makes everything else all worthwhile. You know what? Right here is what it's all about. It's seeing people come to the Lord and then continuing on that path that he's chosen for them. Don't put it off another day. Allow Christ to become the Lord of your life. Don't put it off another day. Continue walking with him and allow him to be truly not just your Savior, but the Lord of your life. Step out in faith. Walk by faith and not by sight.